Ed Till Show, Starcom Radio Network. Jack Beauregard is our guest today. We'll talk about the authenticity gap. And we're also going to talk about his seven principles for living with authenticity, discovering your true self when facing life changes. Jack Beauregard, welcome to the Ed Till Show. How are you?
Thank you. Welcome.
Good. How you doing today?
Good. Very good. Thank
excellent. You. Excellent. Listen, baby boomers are your focus, and these two are two of the biggest baby boomers to come down the pike, right? If there was ever two pictures in a dictionary for baby boomer, it's going to be Trump and Hillary, right?
That's right. Exactly.
So let's talk about both of them in terms of authenticity. You know, the stereotype goes like this. She has none. She's a machine politician. Everything's a lie. And she admitted it in a speech. And I say one thing to the public, I mean something else. He looks like he gets busted every 30 seconds for being himself, for being transparent. This guy uses roughly, you know, I'm from the Bronx, he's from Queens. Nothing he's said or done surprises me. I grew up in the five boroughs. This is what people are like. They are sexist. They are distrusting of others. The thing I think salvages him a little bit is he really doesn't hate all of any group. But he is like that angry uncle who's got a problem with every group. Muslims, ghetto, women, sex, the whole nine, a problem. So authenticity looks like it's his biggest liability. What do you see in the baby boom's definition of authenticity based on these two?
Well, basically, there's a difference between being authentic and authenticity. Is that one of Trump's biggest attraction is that he tells it like it is. And that's been a big bonus for him. But what happened was in that 2005 video that came up on the bus is that that resonated with a lot of people, because Trump was talking as really who he really was. And then all of a sudden when he saw that pretty woman outside, he totally changed and put on a facade. And that resonated with people because they want authenticity, not just projected out. And the same thing with Hillary. Hillary has a real problem, is that she is not transparent, and she has really no vision. So both of them really have a major authenticity. They're not really telling the people where they're really coming from and what they're really going to do.
All right, let's go with Trump first, right? He didn't win any popularity contest by saying build that wall. Now he's in the hunt for the presidency. He's still saying build the wall. I get the feeling when I heard him announce his wall for the first time, I thought that day that he would be good for that wall. I said, you know something? He knows this is unpopular. He knows it's going to start a big politically incorrect hazari. But there's no doubt in my mind, this guy wants a wall, probably with his name on every brick. So I felt there was an authenticity to when he says something bold, it's because he really likes the idea. With Hillary, on the other hand, when you hear about positive things she would do in the future, you know, I'm going to reduce this problem, I'm going to contain that problem, I'm going to reverse. Even the other day, she was talking about fixing Obamacare. It doesn't sound real when she says it. Even if it's what I'd want, it doesn't ring true. Talk to me about that, authenticity versus being an authentic person. When people get the feeling they're really hearing your heart, they like that. When they hear something they like, but it doesn't sound like it's ringing true or it's credible, even though they like the words, they can still have a negative effect on them.
Yep, good point. What it is, I can project being authentic. So I can project it, and it can be part of my facade, and to be able to attract people. But when you come, there's a authenticity. Webster's Dictionary defines that as the core of your being. So that now you're coming from who you really are, and that really resonates with people from to their core of their being. So all of a sudden now people really get you. When I speak, is that you're supposed to do a lot of practice all the time. I don't. I get a framework for the presentation, and I speak from my heart. And what it does, it resonates with other people. And the interesting thing about it, it goes underneath a lot of people's defenses. So you're not getting pushback, because when you talk to from your core of your being to the other person's core of their being, it resonates. And that's what neither one of them are doing. And that's why they're the most disliked presidential candidate. People don't trust either one.
There you go. Now, something else I think that we have to look at, right, especially with bad behavior stuff, whether it's her or him, there is, in all humans, right, the temptation to brag and be in with the in crowd, whatever that means at that moment, right? If you're with the bankers, you know, all evening, by the end of the evening, you know, you're looking for connections and bondings there, and you might be exaggerating who you are and what you say to them to get to fit in with them. The same thing with Trump. He could be with a bunch of these show business types and wants to fit in. Oh, you think you're a good chick chaser? Man, I'm wild. I'm the best. I'm crazy. There is this thing that we do. We started doing it when we were kids. It's still around, isn't it? It's still a personality flaw, no?
Well, I don't know if it's a personality flaw. It's part of this whole inauthentic way of thinking. What we do is send out a positive projection. We have to look good to the world at all costs.
Right.
And then we put a facade up. And that facade is using, you know, we have to get people's approval. We need achievement. We need the, look at Trump, for instance. You know, the biggest cars, the biggest boats, the biggest, best-looking woman. It all supports that facade. And the key thing is to protect that at all costs. But the thing was, personally, when I was doing that, is that even though I would look good and successful and confident, inside of me, I was totally feeling negative. So it's a totally overcompensation mechanism.
And to what degree is it normal, and when does it start to go to the, you know, extreme where it's, you know what I mean? They can't really avoid this in humanity, right? I mean, all the seven deadly sins, everybody does them to some degree or another, right? Whether you're a glutton, you're a liar, you're this or that. But we're all allegedly working to temper these things in ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So when does it become such a big deal that you've crossed over into inauthenticity?
Really, when you come, is that when you lose contact with who you really are, that's when you become inauthentic.
Got it.
And that really happened for most of us at a very early childhood experience. And why this matters now at our stage in life is that I have found out for all the years of how people transition out of their current positions into retirement is that there's a core maximum I found. You have to know who you really are in order to know what you really want to do.
Mm.
And that is so, that's why it's so important. And the other thing is know what your genuine purpose is. You know, when I was doing the facade and being inauthentic myself, I had purpose. You know, it was to get the biggest this, the biggest that, whatever, to make myself look good.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden, you come from the core of your being, not from your false self, you've got a whole different purpose. Now it's real, it's a genuine purpose, and this is what you're supposed to do with the time you have, the gift of life.
Our guest on the Ed Till Show is Jack Beauregard, and we are talking about authenticity. The book is Seven Principles for Living with Authenticity, Discovering Your True Self When Facing Life Changes. So let's get into that a little bit. How would I know my true self if I really have been playing fast and loose with it for a lot of my adult life? When will the come to Jesus experience happen for me?
It's not going to come. There's no pixie dust. It's a process. It's a process. What it is, first you got to be. You have to have a motivation and desire to really want to live to who you really are. Be, and curiosity. Who is your true self? Who's that person got lost so many years ago? So there's a curiosity, and you have to go. I found three A's that really worked in the whole process. Because it took me a business process personally for so many years. Number one is awareness. That's key. You have to become aware of all the stuff that I say to myself, that I hid, the stuff I didn't like about myself, all the hurts I did to other people. It's just going down and becoming aware of it. But the next day is acceptance. Okay, now I'm aware of it. Don't beat myself over the head with it. That's what I used to do with positive thinking. I listen to the tapes, read the books, agree with it, and I actually keep doing negative things. So here's the next, you know, accept it. You know, this is like even your parents. It's like, this is what where they came from. It's not a grand and bad intent. And then the third A is action. Is that you need these, that's what's in the book. We got over 30 exercises to do to help break through that shadow and get into your core who you really are. But fascinating, what the biggest problem is two aspects of it is, number one, your false self does not want you to move, or didn't want me to move, or I see with most people. It's because it's an illusionary, and its very existence is dependent on you being unaware of the true nature of who you really are. And the other one was doing the exercises. It kept telling me, oh, I don't have time to do it. You're wasting your time. Yeah, do something else. Keep yourself entertained, because, again, it's going to lose its hold. And all of a sudden, the beauty of it is, once it starts shrinking, all of a sudden now your true self can start emerging. That's always been there. And what's really interesting about it, for the benefit of that, is that all of a sudden you find some unique talents, your gifts, your abilities, stuff that you got incredible potential that was really put underneath the hot top by the false self. And all of a sudden now you have time to emerge, and you can really exercise them for the next 30 years, the next stage of your life.
Right. You know, it's extraordinary. Now, the question that occurs to me is, if somebody has been inauthentic for a lot of their life, there must be something at the root of that they truly don't like about their true self, or else they wouldn't have discarded it along the way. Something was working for them, not being their true self. Is that going to reemerge now? They are going to have to face why originally they were willing to become somebody else for the moment, or for the business deal, or the relationship. For some reason, they crossed over. They're going to have to deal with that when they rediscover who they are, right?
Well, the thing is, it goes really back to, when we were infants, is that when we were babies, is that we had no defenses up whatsoever. In psychology, it's called the identification process. So all the negatives, the shame, the negativity of our parents was projected on us, as Carl Jung said, the famous psychologist. We live in the subconscious of our parents, so we picked up all their negative stuff. We didn't even know it; it just became part of us. So what really came down to was our original identification of who we are, the core of our being, was negative. You know, I'm bad. I'm worthless. I'm no good. I'm defective. All those type of messages, that's what we identified with. And they're all false. And so that's, once you can become aware of that and deal with that toxic shame, the identification of that negativity, all of a sudden, all that the hold of negativity is let go. Now you're free.
Wow.
And what the beauty of it, from even making all your decisions in the rest part of your life, rather than to always trying to be positive and repressing all the negatives, now you're in the middle. Here's the positive, here's the negative, okay, now I can choose which way I want to go. So now all of a sudden, you have the power of choice. And everything's got a positive and negative, but now you've got the power of authenticity
in
your favor.
Jack Beauregard, our guest on the Ed Till Show, Starcom Radio Network, AM/FM stations all across America. I'm on the PlatinumYears.com website. Let's mention and tell us briefly a little bit about what you offer people in terms of workshops and private counseling.
Basically, what we do is to help people make that big transition, whatever that is. People are looking for meaning and purpose once they leave. You know, if you're working for a company, your station, or if you're leaving a business or any firm, is that what you were doing? That's where you got your sense of meaning and got your sense of purpose. Once you leave, what are you going to do? And we're the first generation in the history of mankind to be given the gift of longevity, because most people, you know, they retired at 65 and they're dead at 68. Now we have another 10, 20, 30 years
right.
of life.
Right.
What are we going to do in that next third of life that's meaningful and purposeful and will fulfill our own personal destiny? That's what we help people. We take a very business-like, methodical, step-by-step approach to help them figure out, who am I and what am I going to do for the next third of my life?
Jack, a real pleasure. I want to thank you for the time today. Jack Beauregard is the founder and CEO of a global Personal Transition Planning Institute, and you can reach out to him at theplatinumyears.com. And the book, again, great title, 7 Principles for Living with Authenticity, Discovering Your True Self When Facing Life Changes. A pleasure, man. I look forward to having you back on the show.
Thank you, Ed. It's been a real pleasure. Thank
Same
you so
here.
Much.
You bet. Have a great day. Starcom Radio Network.